Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Be'ach Chaf Gimel. We begin on the very last line of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda. Let's continue the discussion we began yesterday regarding producing smoked items on Yom Tov. Smoked meat, smoked fish. And the two sides of the equation were as follows. Shall we consider it Eichel Nefesh because it's something that can be appreciated by all people? On the other hand, the fact is not many partake in this delicacy. Perhaps it's not considered universal, not considered Eichel Nefesh, and since it involves a malacha, which malacha can it involve? Well, when you sprinkle the incense on the coals to produce that pleasant aroma which will be absorbed in the fruit, when you sprinkle it on the coals, it's going to be mechaber the coals temporarily. You're going to be extinguishing the coals. On the other hand, you're going to bring about a flaring up of the coals as well. So there's mechaber, there's mavir. And the question is whether it's justified for this purpose. Is this considered eichel nefesh? Yes or no? Says the Gemara on the last line of Beis Amud Beis. Omer Yehuda, it depends. Al gabi gecheles aser. If you're doing it on top of coals, it's aser. It's not eichel nefesh. You're doing a malacha, putting out those coals for the time being, for a non-eichel nefesh purpose. However, al gabi cheres mutav. If you have a heated piece of clay, then you can use it for this purpose because you're not putting out any fire when you sprinkle that substance on the cheres. V'Rabba Omer. All gabi kli cheres, nami osur. Even if you sprinkle the substance on the cheres, it's also osur mishum de komo derecha because you're creating reyach, you're processing the cheres, so to speak, by having the cheres absorb the reyach of the substance. What's wrong with that? Says Rashi up on top. Al gabi cheres she sikoi. This is a Yehuda speaking. On top of a heated piece of clay, it's mutar. The kibui leka. Not putting out any fires. Vavar nami, aide shinahi. What about lighting a fire? You're burning the substance, the besamim. It's a shinahi. It's not a conventional method of burning things. You're burning it on the heat of the clay, kalachar yad. It's an indirect doing. It's a backhanded way of doing it. Vilek isur deraisa. Since it's not isur deraisa, only derabon in this case, we allow it for this purpose. Rabbah disagrees. He says, even al cheres is aser, continues Rashi. The kamod recha, shenichas becheres, shaloi hoya by reach, you're imparting a reach into the cheres. That's creating a new thing. V'asum ed rabbanah sha'amoy ledover chadash karavu le'oysa melacha chadasha. Although not asum in ha'toyah, the rabbanah, it appears like he's creating, he's producing, he's generating something new, making a fragrant, filled cheres, and that's aser. Now it appears from the Gemara that the fact that he's putting the reich in the food, that wouldn't be considered moilut. They're just preparing food. But putting reich into an item, an object, inedible object, that's called a moilut. That's also midrabbana. So far, we have two shitas regarding producing smoked foods. Rav Yehuda says, if it involves any real malacha, it's aser. It's not eichel nefesh. That justifies malacha. Rabbi says, even on a cheres, you have a concern of moilut. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damer Tavayu, continues the Gemara. In the same vein, Rabba and Rav Yosef both say, Sechufi, rubbing kasa, a cup which has fragrance absorbed within it, Ashiroi, rubbing that cup on silk, on material, B'yoyma Tava, Asur, you can't do it on Yom Tov, my time, Mishum de Kamoil Drech, because you're generating, producing Reach, you're adding Reach into the material. That's also Midir Rabban. It appears like a Malach. Umayishnam Imayloi. Why is this different than the halacha of moilel? We learn later in the Masechta you can take a pleasant smelling branch and rub it. Umirichbay and smell it. You're also generating reyach. V'koytmay umirichbay or clipping off the top which generates reyach. Why is that different than here? Hasam reicha mia isa. In that case, the pleasant smell is contained within that branch. V'aysufi hudukam moisef reicha. He's simply adding, simply increasing the effect by clipping it, by rubbing it. That's not moilud. Here he's creating, he's generating a new reich into something which never had a reich, and that's a concern. Here comes a third sheet regarding producing smoked food on Yom Tov. Rav Amar al gabei gachelas nami mutar. You can even do it on coals, even though you're extinguishing your lighting. Midida hava abrisar grumi. It's no different than a cut of meat roasted on coals. It's eichel nefesh. You can do anything you need for eichel nefesh. Says Rashi, about 2-3 lines up from our position in the Gemara. Rav Amar al gabei gachelas nami mutar. Kishmol. Just as Shmuel said yesterday, it's mutar. The eichel nefesh. Ishan peiris zeh. It's eichel nefesh. V'shav l'chol nefesh. It's considered something which is universally appreciated, although not accessed by everybody. Not everybody has that option available to them, but they appreciate it. It's called a uniform, a conventional, a universal hanah shav l'chol nefesh. It's considered eichel nefesh. What about the fact that he's putting out the coals or flaring them up? Or perhaps adding reyach to the coals which weren't there? Well, it's no different than roasting your meat on Yom Tov, which is certainly mutter. It's eichel nefesh. All these concerns are there. There's no problem here as well. It's no different. So in conclusion, we have three shittos regarding producing smoked food on Yom Tov. Aser, in a case where it involves a malacha, such as gabi gecheles, that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But on a cheres, it's mutter. Rabbi says, even on a cheres, it's aser, you're being moiled reyach in the cheres. Rabbi says, it's mutter in all cases. It's eichel nefesh. It's no different than roasting on coals. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rab Gevia, Mibay Kassel. Rab Gevia, from the town of Kassel, taught, he announced, he declared, Apischa de Beresh Gelusa, at the entranceway to the Reish Galusa's home, where perhaps it was a congregation of people, so he took the opportunity to announce a halacha. Keturah shari, you can do keturah on Yom Tov. Now, keturah can have two definitions. Amalei Amemar. Amemar turns to him, my keturah, what did you mean? Ye keturah bidi. So he used to fold up the clothing, the sleeves, and tie them up to generate folds. That's allowed on Yom Tov. Ketura Meloshin Kesher. That's allowed. Masi Umanun. It's a professional job. Work of a craftsman. That can't be done on Yom Tov. That's a Melacha. Vila Ashen. Are you speaking about Ketura Meloshin Keteris? Producing smoked food on Yom Tov? Aser. Doka Mechaba. That's also a problem. You're extinguishing the coals when you place the fragrant substance on them. Amale Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi responds to him. Lo'ilum la'ashen. He was speaking about producing the smoked item on Yom Tov. That's mutter. Even though there's a malacha, it's eichel nefesh. It's like the piece of meat sitting on the coals. You're extinguishing, you're flaring it up, you're adding reyach. There's no concern. Eichel nefesh is mutter. Ikadami. There's another version of this discussion. Rav Gvia announced that Keturah is mutar on Yom Tov. What is Keturah? Omali Amemar, my Keturah. What are you referring to? Ikaturah bidi, we're talking about folding up the clothing. Masa umanu, styling the clothing in this manner, is a masa uman, it's a malachat asar on Yom Tov. Ila ashen, speaking about producing smoked items on Yom Tov, that's asar as well, the kamilat recha, because he is imparting a reyach on the gecholim, or whatever he's using to burn the incense. Amar Rav Ashi, Amro Amrita Niyalei. Actually, I was the one who told Rav Gavia this halacha. And it wasn't even my halacha. Umishmei Degavar Rav Amrita Niyalei, and I quoted him in the name of a great man. So it must be reliable. Lo'ilum La'ashen, you're speaking about producing smoked foods on Yom Tov. What about the fact that you're adding reyach to the coals or to the cheres that you're using? There's no concern. It's eichel nefesh. Umida dahava bisar grumi is no different than meat being roasted on Yom Tov as well. So bottom line is, he held that li'ashin on Yom Tov is mutter. It's like eichel nefesh. Even though you're extinguishing, you're flaring up, you're adding reyach, there's no concern. So let's go back to the Mishnah where Rabbi Gamliel presented three kulos. The third of which is Va'isan Gdima Kulos. You can produce this Gdima Kulos. Rashi explained for us, take a goat the night of Pesach, and you make a zecher lemikdash. You take all the insides and you hang it up next to it, and you roast it in that manner. It's mekulos, it appeared like a person who was surrounded with his weapons, an armed gedi, which was the same manner in which they used to roast the carbon Pesach. So he did it zecher as a remembrance to the carbon Pesach and the mikdash. The Chacham disagreed. They said, you can't do this. Tanya, Rabbi Yesu Eimer, Toidos Ish Roimi. There was a great man, his name was Toidos, he lived in Rome, he was a community leader. Hinig es bnei Roimi lechol gdi mekulos b'lei lepsachem. He established a minig in his town of Rome to eat gdi mekulos on the night of Pesach. So it was in the city of Rome, the bastion of Gaulis. He wanted to give chizuk. Come, let's do a minag tonight, which will create a zikaron, a remembrance for the experience in the Beis HaMikdash. Shochalei, the Chacham responded to him and opposed what he did. Il molei toidus ata, you should know, if not for the fact that you're a great man, you're toidus, goizreno lechanida, we would have applied a cherem on account of what you did. Shato machalas bnei Yisrael kotcha machutz, look, you're feeding Yisrael karbonis outside your shalayim. Kachem sakadaitach? What do you mean he gave them kachem? It wasn't kachem. Ela'ema ke'in kachem. What you're doing appears like in carbon Pesach and could be mistaken for a carbon Pesach. It would appear like you're giving them kachem outside Yerushalayim. Don't do it in this manner. It's inappropriate for an ordinary animal to be roasted in a manner which resembles roasting of the carbon Pesach. Continues the Mishnah. Shloisha dvarim Reb Elazar ben Azariah mater chum oisrim. Here again we have the number three kulos presented by Reb Elazar ben Azariah as opposed to the chachamim who were oisr. Number one, parasa yoitza beritzua shebin kaneil. Reb Elazar's cow would go out on Shabbos wearing this ornamental strap strung to its horns. He considered it to be an ornament, like a malbush, like a tachshit. It's not a load. Chacham disagreed. It's considered a load. An animal doesn't need ornaments. An animal can't carry a load on Shabbos. Number two, Makardin as Behemah B'Yomtiv. On Yomtiv, you can scrape the animal with a fine tooth comb to comb its hair, to remove insects. We're not concerned about making the animal bleed, which is a chabur. V'sheichin es ha-pilpulin v'rechaim shalem. We learned earlier that you're allowed to grind seasoning, pilpon and some type of seasoning. You can grind them on Yontav even using the ordinary tools, berachayim shalhem, with a conventional grinder. Chacham disagreed on both these things. When it comes to makardin, they were concerned that you're creating a chabur, you're going to scrape the animal. When it comes to crushing the pilpon, you meant to deviate from the way you do it during the week. It shouldn't look like a uvdin dechayla. You can crush them, but use something different than the way you usually do it. Use a stone mini mortar, but not the grinder. Rabido, I mean, ain't makardin as behemah b'yontiv. Neshaisa chabur. Rabido holds that you can't do kirut. You can't take this fine tooth comb to scrape the animal because you're going to make a chabur. Ava makardin. You can use a wooden comb that has wider teeth, aren't so sharp and pointy. And use that, because that's not going to make a chabur. It's not going to inflict a wound. Chacham Oimrim, both are off the table. Ein makardin, you can't use the fine tooth comb. Avalei makardin, Svenuar can use this wooden comb. We're concerned if we allow this one, we'll lead to that one. So both are us. Let's go over to Rashi. Starting from Masnissen. So it's a couple of lines up. Parosa yoitza b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, Reb Elazar's cow would walk out carrying the strap. Bertosh ben Kanea, Lenoi. For beauty, v'amr rabbanah masuyu in a tachshila. Rabban disagreed. It's not called a tachshid. He's just carrying a load. Number two, makardin magerishal barzel. It can take a metal comb and scrape the animal. Although sheshenea dakas, it has thin, sharp teeth. V'avka chabur over though. It might make a chabur in the animal. Number three, he was matir to crush the pilpul in beruchem shalahen genesim shalano, the conventional grinder. Rabbi says, makardin you can't do, but makardzefin you do. What is that? Magerah shel eitz, using a wooden comb, wooden scraper. Shishina gas, which has wide teeth, venos a chabur, which won't make a chabur. Continues the Gemara. We started with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowing his para to walk out carrying this, wearing this strap. Do you mean to say he only had one cow? It sounds like he had one cow that wore this thing. He had many more. Va'amarav, va'amarav, some say Amar v'yudamarav, t'leisar alfi, egli, 13,000 calves, hava ma'asar, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, me'edri, Rav Elazar would separate 30,000 calves from his herd as ma'asar behema, 1 out of 10, kol shata v'shata, every year. Apparently he had more than just one cow. Tana. So he learned in a brisa. The response is no. It actually wasn't even his cow that was speaking about. It wasn't his personal cow. It was his neighbor's cow. So why is it attributed to him? We say, his cow wore this strap. It was his neighbor, it wasn't him. Since he didn't protest. He wasn't meicha when he saw her cow carrying the strap. It's attributed to him. It's considered as though he did it. He himself didn't actually do it. His neighbor did it, but he didn't protest. So it's attributed to him. It's as though he was matirit. Tesis asks in the Gemara. We say 13,000 maser behema cows. Well, Rav Elazar lived after the Churban. And after the Churban Abayis, maser behema was bottle, as the Gemara B'chiris says. Tesis gives two terutzim. He says perhaps it was his caretaker. So when he was still young at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, his apotropos, who took care of his assets, was mafresh this masa behema. Another teretz he says, la dafke masa behema just means he paid his taxes, 10% of his herd, to the king, which amounted to 30,000 calves. And incidentally, Rashi elsewhere says that the number 13 isn't always accurate. It can be used in an exaggerated way. So the point is he had many more than just one cow. The bottom line is, since he was mater, his neighbor, it's considered as though he personally did it. What was the second discussion in the Mishnah? Umekardinus behema biyamtiv. Kontra Blazer ben Azariah, mekardin is mutter, makartzefin is mutter, kontra Yehuda, only mekardin, not makartzefin, or kontra Rabbanan, none. Tana Rabbanan ezo kirud, ezo kirtzef. What's the difference between kirud and kirtzef? Kirud is ktanim, or isim chabura. A fine tooth comb, which will perhaps make a chabura on the animal. As opposed to kirtzuf, that's gdolim. You have a wide toothed comb, and it's a chabura which will not inflict a wound. We have a total of three shittes regarding this topic. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Dovashin Reskavan Aser. He says, inflicting a wound in this manner, even though it's not your intent to do so, it's Aser. Meal, however, we are machalak between the different types of cones. Kirud is ketanim, those are the sharp teeth. Vois and chabur, which will inflict a wound. So even though it's davar she'ein miskaven, it's us. On the other hand, kirtzef is gdolim. They're the wide teeth. Vois and chabur, this wooden comb will not make a chabur. V'loi gazrin on kirtzef at the kirud. We allow the kirtzef, we're not concerned that kirtzef will lead to kirud, two separate things. So what's your Yehuda? Kirud, which will make a chabur, is asa, but not kirtzef. But Rabbanan savri namik Rabbi Yehuda. Dabar she'en miskaven asa. Rabbanan agree in principle that dabar she'en miskaven is asa, like Rabbi Yehuda, but they take it a step further. But gazrinan kirtzef at the kirud, just as kirud can't, kirud is asa because of chabur, kirtzef is asa as well because we're afraid if we allow this, one thing might lead to the next. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saw the Kerb Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds the Kerb Shimon. When you do a masa which leads to a malacha, since it's only an incidental malacha which you didn't really have in mind, it's mutter, especially by Shabbos, where you need a melechas machsheves, you need planning, purpose. So in any case, it's mutter, and therefore, bein kirud, bein kirtzuf shari, whether using a sharp-toothed comb or a wide-toothed comb, it's mutter. So you have three shittas. According to one shita, everything is aser. According to one shita, everything is mutter. According to the third shita, sharp is aser, unsharp is mutter. Amar Rav, Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. But Amar, some say Amar Rav Nachman Chodei. It was Rav Nachman on his own, not in the name of Shmuel. who said that halachic Rav Shimon, we follow Rav Shimon, the Rav Shimon is covered mutter. In this case, use any comb you wish. Why? Sharei Rav Lezer ben Azariah, because Rav Lezer ben Azariah follows Rav Shimon's shita. Therefore, it's probable that the halacha follows that of Amali Rav Rav Nachman, says Rav to Rav Nachman. Why are you choosing Rav Shimon over Rav Yehuda? V'lei memar, loch Rav Yehuda. Why wouldn't you rather say halacha follows Rav Yehuda? Rav Shimon's covenant is Asur, Sharei Chacham and Moidilei. It's pretty clear that Chacham, who the majority, agreed with Rav Yehuda. Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman responds, Anok Rav Shimon Sferli. The truth is, I personally concur with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's covenant is Mutter. So that's my personal opinion. And that really would be enough for me. But I added another element as well to support my opinion. Void, Sharei, Elazar Nazari, Moidilei. Because Rav Shimon is supported in this case for Elazar Nazari. Therefore, I took that track and I allow any type of comb to be used. Continues the Mishnah. Harachaim Shel Pilplin, once we discussed this Pilplin crusher, says the Mishnah, actually there's another halacha associated with it. Harachaim Shel Pilplin, Tmei Mishnah Shlesha Kalim. This grinder really is comprised of three separate Kalim. And even if they're disassembled, each part of this Rechaim has its own din kli. What are the three kalim? So let's just first describe it by heart. We have a grinder, a crusher, which is comprised of three sections, three levels. So on bottom you have a receptacle. So the grinded material collects in the bottom, which is actually a clay eitz. It's a clay kibble. A wooden utensil which can contain is mekabel tumah. On top of that, you have the sieve, the sifter. So it's really a clay eitz, sort of a cylinder, clay eitz, with a sort of material bottom, which is a sieve, a sifter, through which the ground material runs through. Then you have the upper section, which is a round wooden circle, which is bottomed, which is coated on bottom with a metal plate with sharp protrusions coming out of it. And that's used to grind the pilplin inside the middle section, which then drops down and collects into the bottom section, which is the clay kibble. So each one of these sections is considered an independent clay and can become tummy on its own. Harachaim Shel Pilplin, says the Mishnah, Tumei Mishum Shashat Kalim, and has three Kalim with respect to Tumah. Mishum Klei Kibul, which is the bottom one. It's a Klei Eitz which has the ability to contain. Mishum Klei Matechas, the top one is the Klei Matechas. So the bottom one is a Klei Kibul. The top one is a Klei Matechas. So it's not meant to contain, it's just a grinder used to grind the Pilplin beneath it. A Klei Matechas is tummy, even if it's not something that can contain. And the middle section is the Mishum Klei Kfarah. That's a sieve, it's a sifter, which is tummy on its own. Explains the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Tachtoina, yeah, the bottom one, Mishum Klei Kibul. That's a Klei Eitz, which collects the ground material. It's a Klei Kibul, which is Mekabel Tum. Emtsoi is the middle section, Mishum Klei Kfarah. The middle one is a Klei Kfarah, which means it's a sieve, it's a sifter. Rashi says that although it's a Klei Eitz, but since it has a piece of material connected to it, a chama geizer tuma mishum arug. Just as a piece of material is tummy, so the sieve, the sifter, is makabal tuma. Tosis disagrees. He says arug only applies to a real piece of material, not a wooden kli. Rather, he says that a sifter is makabal tuma because it's a kli, which is makabal. It has the ability to contain. What does it contain? The leftovers, after the grinding, the large pieces that don't go down, the waste, whatever it is, the skins, stay inside that sifter, and so it's a clay kibul and a clay eitz, which is makabal tum. El yoyne, the upper clay, mishum clay matechas. It's a metal clay, because it's a wooden frame, which is coated with a sharp metal plate. So it's a clay matechas, which has the ability to attract tumor, even though it doesn't have the ability to contain. Klimatches is tummy, even if it's pashut, even if it's not, it contains. Continues the Mishnah. Agolah shel katan, a carriage, a baby stroller. actually Rashi learns, it's an agola, it's a type of carriage which is intended for a play. The child sits on it and has a good time. Tosis learns that it's actually describing a walker used to train the baby to walk. So he says it has three wheels and he grabs onto it and walks with it. So either way, it's something which the child sits on and leans on. Agolah shel katan has three halachos. Once again, the number three. Tmei midras. If somebody sits on it, for instance, this child, if he's a zav, he sits on the agolah, becomes tamei midras, which is something that applies uniquely, exclusively to something which is meant to be leaned or sat on. So this agolah is meant for this purpose, to lean and sit on it. And therefore, it has the ability to accept too much midras. Number two, when it tells b'shabbos. Be handled on Shabbos, it's a kli, it's not muktzah. Number three, be in a negreris, or you drag it, be careful. They only do it, it's got to be kalem, on top of material, on top of carpets, so that it doesn't scrape the floor and create a furrow, which is a malach of chayrish. Rabbi Do'aymer, kol ha-kalem ein negrun. You have to take care not to drag any kli on the ground, except for this one. Chutz min ha-gola, you know why? It has wheels. It doesn't drag, it doesn't scrape. It weighs down. The wheels push the earth downward. That's not called chayrish. Continues the Gemara. We speak about it. Agolah shel katan tmei midras. Why? It's meant for the child to lean on. When it tells us for Shabbos, why could you move it on Shabbos? Shum de ikatar is kli alo. It's considered a kli. It's not muktzah. Thirdly, v'ena negar is agabi kelim. It can only be dragged on top of items, as opposed to on the karka itself. Algabi kalem in on kalem algabi karka loy, but not on the plain earth. My time of wide the kovet chiritz, it creates a furrow. Oh, now it's a davashen v'skaven. Apparently, Mani, who's the author of this mission, who's concerned about this, Rabbi Yudi, the Omer davashen v'skaven also. Even though that's not his plan, it's not his intention to create a furrow. Fact is, it's happening as a result of his drag. The davashen v'skaven is also. Okay, the ear of Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, there's no concern. Amar Dava Shem is Kavan is Mutter. So apparently, Tanakam who cautions you against dragging this agola on a bare floor is following Shittas Reb Yehuda, since it's going to result in a chafira, even though he's not mechavan, it's us, Shittas Reb Yehuda. As opposed to Reb Shimon, who's not concerned because that's not his kavanah. That's not Reb Shimon. Oimer Goyer Adam. Person could drag, even on Shabbos, mita, bed, kisa, chair, v'safsel, a bench, u'bashle, skav, and lost his chariz, as long as he's not trying to make a furrow. So Tanakama, whose concern is obviously following Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Problem is, ema sefa, let's move on to the rest of the end of the Mishnah, where we have the words Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Eina kol negrim v'shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda speaking in response to the Tanakama. He says, you can't drag anything on Shabbos on your bare floor, chutz min agol, except for this particular item, where there's no such concern. Because it's going to press down as opposed to dragging. We place shekibesh in, because it's pressing down. Aval charetz le'adah, but it doesn't create a charetz. Now, apparently, Tanakama is concerned that sometimes the wheels will get stuck, in which case it will be dragged. He is not concerned about that. Okay, so that's a side point. Bottom line is, Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, and apparently the Reisha is not Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you say that the Reisha, who's concerned about dragging, is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda can't be both Shitas at the same time. He can't be speaking at the beginning of the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah. Says where he could. Tzrei Tanoi, I leave the Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah reflects two opinions who followed Rabbi Yehuda. So both Tanoim and the Mishnah were based on the principle of Rabbi Yehuda, the Davashen Miskaven is also. That's the underlying concern. Question, should we apply to the Agola? Being that it has those wheels, which are really turning and pressing down instead of dragging. So according to one version, which is expressed by Tanakama now Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha would apply even in this case. We're concerned about getting those wheels stuck and dragging them. Therefore, don't do it unless it's on something. Whereas in the second version of Rabbi Yehuda, presented in the last part of the Mishnah, that's another Tana speaking in his name, wheels, who turn, no concern whatsoever of doing a malach. So we spoke about Agalah Shel Katan and three halachas. It has midras, it's not muktzah. Make sure to only drag it on a carpet to avoid malacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is really another version of Rabbi Shita. Spinning wheels have no concern because it's kovish, it's pressing down, it's not scraping the ground. Hadron loch yomtiv, continues the Mishnah. Ain't sodden dogim nabi burn biyomtiv. If you have a fish pond, you cannot trap fish from that beaver, from that pool on yomtiv. Why? Says Rashi, because you can do it before yomtiv. There's no need to do it on yomtiv. Very nice enough name of Zionist, nor can you feed them on yomtiv. Avot sodden chayiv oif min a beaverin. When it comes to an animal, to a bird, you can trap them from their enclosures. V'noisin l'fneim ha'zoinis, likewise, you can feed them. Why? We're going to see in Rashi soon. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, don't make a general rule. You say trapping an animal, a bird from a beaver is mutter. Well, you know what? It depends on its size. Lo kol ha'beaverin shavin. Not all pens have the same halacha. Depends on its size. Gzeh ha'klal, this is the rule to follow. Kol ha'mechusar tzei de'asar. It's a large pen, in which case the animals contained within it are lacking, say them. Meaning you still have to go trap them. You have to run after them to catch them. You can't do it on Yom Tov. It's a melacha of tzedah. M'she'eina mechusat tzedah mutter. But if it's not lacking, tzedah, meaning it's easily accessible, it's small enough that you can just reach out and grab the animal, then you're not doing tzedah on Yom Tov and it's mutter. Let's go over to Rashi. Starting from the beginning of the parak, around 15, 20 lines from the bottom. Says Rashi, ain't sodden dogim. Tzedah is asr on Yom Tov. Ask Rashi Akasha, why? Af agav de shchita, v'afiyu, v'bishul, ma'avis melacha sen. We have a whole litany, a whole list of melachas which are mutar on Yom Tov, v'oichal nefesh, v'hutu utzoyach Yom Tov. Taima, you know what the reason is? V'shem di efshem erev Yom Tov. All those cannot be done before Yom Tov. They must be done today. The shchita, when it comes to shechting, chayish l'mechma brisra. They didn't have fridges in those days, and if you do shchita yesterday, the meat might spoil, might warm up and spoil. So it's pertinent to do it today. Aval tzeda as opposed to trapping, efshel tzudim boi diyam, trap it yesterday. Leave it in its trap, in its net, in the water. Don't pull it out of the water. Have it remain alive inside. Take it tomorrow. So the melacha of tzeda doesn't have to be done today. And therefore you can't trap fish on Yom Tov. Beverim says Rashi shall dog him hain. Fish ponds, brecha shamayim shakarim vibir. Beverim shall chaya. It's referring to these enclosures. Kafifis makafim gedr saviv. This pen that's enclosed, surrounded by a fence. Vekoisin l'sechon chaya sabar v'yodis mgad l'sham, which will contain animals. Ve'in noisin, just as you can't catch fish on Yom Tov, you can't feed them either. Ve'in noisin l'fnei adogim mezoinis. Ask Rashi Akasha, what do you mean? A filo on domar nefesh behemah b'mashm. We had a shita earlier that you can do malacha to feed an animal. So why can't I feed these animals? Hanamilid b'zenes and alecha. That only refers to animals which need you. They're dependent upon you for their sustenance. Avo dogim is supposed to fish. Free swimming fish. They have food accessible wherever they are. Efshlam b'zenes b'zenes. They don't need you to feed them. Shem oichlam shorash yasovim. Mekarka. They feed on grass, the god eichas ha-katan, and large fish eat up the small fish, so they're taken care of. Avot sodan chayiv oif, we can trap animals and birds, ha-mechonosim esma, which were already contained before Yom Tov. Kasagadai dechash, the Gemara now figures at this point that any enclosure does a trick. Kibbutz mekaf from gather, once they're enclosed in a gather, havel kinetzoidim v'oim, they're considered to be trapped as is. And therefore, you're not really trapping anything when you just pull them out on Yom Tov. As opposed to fish, aval dogim, neshmotim, nechurim, nestokim. It's hard to catch them. They disappear in their nooks and crannies. V'havet zeta b'yom tov. Trapping them is considered a melacha v'tzeda. As opposed to animals, where they're already considered trapped as is. So therefore, you can take them, and you can feed them. V'noisim k'nei mezoinis, me'achurif. Tzrichim mezoinis. Throughout the winter, they need you to feed them. V'af me'achayitz. Likewise, even during spring and summer, Makam Drisas Bnei Adam, a place which is trampled by traffic, She'en Asarim Oilmboi, where there are no grass growing. In that case, they need you to feed them. Rav Shimon Lil says, "Hamachusat tzedesh tzoch letzuda depends on the size of the enclosure. If it's large enough, which requires another effort to go catch the manyata, then you're doing tzeda, and even the animal or the bird would have the same status as fish. In which case, grabbing the manyata is considered tzeda and it's asr." Tosfos has a different pshat in the isra of feeding them. He says that, unlike Rashi, who was concerned about perhaps tircha, doing unnecessary effort for the fish who don't really need you, Tosfos has a different pshat. He says it's really a concern of tzeda, meaning if you're going to feed them, you might go and trap them. So really, one is dependent on the other. That's when it comes to fish who may not be trapped on Yom Tov. You can't feed them either because you might come to trap them. If you're so involved, you might go ahead and actually trap it. Whereas the Chayev Oif, where it seems there's no concern of Tzeda here, when they're enclosed in this pen. So since there's no concern of trapping, you can feed them as well because there's no Gzera. You might trap them because taking them out of the pen is not considered trapping. So just as you can trap them, go ahead and feed them as well. Okay, let's briefly chazer over today's daf. We had many halachas and concepts which are related to the number three. Let's start with be ma'ashen, producing smoked foods on Yom Tov. We have three shittas. One shita says mutter. It's eichel nefesh, although not available to all people, but it's appreciated by all, and therefore you can do anything for it. Mechabe maver, to smoke your fruit and your salmon. We have another shita which said it's aser in all cases. It's not considered eichel nefesh. It's not shavah l'koil. It's not something enjoyed by all equally. So therefore, when it comes to putting this fragrance on coals to create that pleasant smelling smoke, there's a concern of mechabe. You're putting out, at least temporarily, putting out those coals. That's a non-eichel nefesh related melacha. It's aser. And likewise, even on a heated piece of clay, you can't do this because it's moilit. Because you're generating a reyach into the cheres, and that's asur midrabban. So one sheet is mata completely, one sheet says it's asur all the time. We had a middle sheet, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it involves a malacha of mechaba, for instance, placing the fragrance on a gacheles, that's asur. But in a cheres, we're not concerned because he's not really putting out any fires. There is no fire to put out. And apparently he's not concerned about the fact that you're imparting the reyach into the cheres. That's not your kavanah, that's what you're trying to do. And there's no Isser Drabbanan as well. So three shittas, Asr, Mutter, and sometimes. We discussed the Gdi Mekulas, which was the manner in which they roasted their carbon, their animals, their Gdi on Pesach in the town of Rome. Then we had a Mishnah, which contained three Heterim presented by Rav Elazar ben Azariah, which were opposed by the Chachamim. One, he allowed the Pura to wear this ornamental strap on Shabbos. He would allow scraping the animal with any type of comb or brush, and as well as crushing the pilpulin in their rechayim, the conventional manner. We had three shittas regarding scraping the animal. We had the Rebbe Azariah, who allows in all cases, in line with shittas Rebbe Shimon, Davar Shem Niskaven is mutter. We have Rebbe Yehuda, who says Davar Shem Niskaven is aser. So Mekardin, which is using a fine-toothed comb, which will make a chabura, it would be aser, but Mekaratzefin, where it's a wide-toothed wooden comb, would be mutter. Chacham say, in all cases, aser, we're afraid about this, leading to that. We had three kalim contained in the Rechaim Shel Pilplin. The upper one is the Kli Mateches, the middle one is the Arig, the Kvara, the sieve. The bottom one is the Kli Eitz, where the ground seasoning collects, and that's considered a kli kibul and its tummy. We have three halachas regarding agalos shel katan, metame midras. It's not muktzah on Shabbos, and be careful when you drag it. Concluded the Mishnah regarding fish that cannot be trapped nor fed, as opposed to chayv oif that can be trapped and fed as well. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.